is that appropriate to be addressing in the general plan? Is our county going to take the position, these are our constituents, we have a flood control district, we are responsible and will take responsibility for the management of our water, and I'm talking specifically the groundwater. Surface water gets, there's a whole nother state water law that applies there, but groundwater, is the county a right, or are they, would they be out of line if they found some giblets and put their foot down?
Well, I mean, they would have to, the county would have to fight for whatever space it has. All those agencies you've listed are all state empowered, so, and AB 263 is state law. So, I mean, you're kind of saying two things. Which of these, you know, groups, the GSA versus the SWRCB versus AB 263, you know, who's predominant? And I realize, basically, there's a lot of masters out there.
This went from a checkerboard to three-dimensional chess.
Yeah, it really kind of is, especially with the regulatory agencies. I mean, the easy answer is a state statute should prevail over the state agencies, whatever they do, which is only a small part of the puzzle, I know.
But that is at odds right now, because State Water Resource Control Board is saying the executive order, as it applies to the groundwater use, supersedes GSAs and GSPs. But GSAs and GSPs were established through legislative action, and so we already have a conflict of an agency saying they have more power or authority than a legislative action.
They don't.
I know they don't, but they're saying they do. And that's why, you know, when we're talking about open space and easements, etc., all of that is dependent upon who's the top dog.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, of course, that's absolutely right. I mean, the county can only work within the space it has, so to speak, obviously, which is seeming less and less year by year in terms of outside control. For instance, the groundwater, the groundwater, the GSP plan, you know, that was recently adopted in the last year or two, for the various four basins, that doesn't, you know, those groundwater basin plans are going to control over whatever we put in the general plan. I don't know what to say. There's not a lot of space within the general plan for water, perhaps policy, but what space there is, the county can try to shape it either politically through influencing other agencies or doing what it can on its own legally, which may not be much.
Well, and I bring this up because I think of some past projects that the commission has had before us where it influenced, albeit so did a lawsuit, that the county has begun to take a closer look at projects involving extraction of groundwater, whether it be ag use, domestic use, potential build-out use, and the one that comes top to mind is the one here just south of town where we had a discussion on this commission. If we allow this subdivision and X number of additional wells going into this particular aquifer, what is the potential impact to existing residents, and would it be negative? And with the well drilling permits, something that Mr. Dean worked on for a long time, trying to come up with the language based upon, you know, coming out of that moratorium, what will the county have to look at and study to show no impact or impact, and if so, can it be mitigated before a project can be approved? And it all comes down to what we're right here before us, the open space. The less we have, the more impact on the groundwater, which impacts our planning and development here in the county. And so I'm trying to wrap my head around this, that lawsuit and the moratorium directed the county to take certain actions to recognize water supply, groundwater supply, and create policy to guide approval or denial of projects. And we're here in a general plan. This is kind of the heart of Siskiyou County's issue right now.
So Chair Fowle, page 32 of your packets, Commission, is probably the most accurate description of how the jurisdictions and different agencies are laid out, right? Well, the section entitled Water Quality, basically, and you guys are more versed in this, obviously, than I, but this is an accurate reflection, right? We have the North Coast Regional Water Board, and then you also have the Central Valley for the southern portion of the county. But this does a really good review of just all the different players, you know. But to answer your question of who has the final say, it would be the governor's office, right, through the executive orders. But the county itself has a lot of discretion within the state framework, because the state itself delegates all that authority to the local level. Through the GSAs, so.
But the thing to remember, GSAs, through legislation, they're limited to groundwater. GSAs have no authority over surface water, unless they can come up with a finding that increasing potential runoff will add to storage, i.e. increasing groundwater. I mean, that was the whole purpose of this with down in the Central Valley. How do we get more groundwater in the ground? That's not a problem that we necessarily have here, but our GSAs that have created the GSPs have all focused on whether it be vegetation management, increasing snowpack, putting in water storage facilities in order to provide surface water to supplement groundwater. And so the county, I would argue, does have final jurisdiction over groundwater. I concur that when it comes to surface water, that's another issue. But groundwater, even under California state law, A, goes to the owner of the property where the groundwater is, and B, is to be managed and overseen by the county for which that land resides. I mean, that's within California water law. Hasn't been changed yet. I know they're wanting to, but it's like, what is that relationship with the GSAs?
I guess when
as we look at this,
that the courts have the final say, and everyone in California hates Siskiyou County because we are the county that makes the bad law that binds the rest of the state,
which is a good thing in my opinion.
Well, the public trust doctrine issue only came up because we fumbled the ball here in Siskiyou County, and the rest of the state, right, is now suffering for it. But to answer your question, it's the local courts that will, you know, that control the public trust for the surface waters, right? We're talking Scott River and the Shasta River. It's the court mandates regarding public trust, which are. That's the other piece, right? You have the GSAs, we're talking about the groundwater, but the surface waters, you know, the courts are the ones that are imposing that public trust piece. You know, so between the two of those, you know, the county plays its part balancing those two. It seems like they're competing entities, but they're not. You know, the goal is simply to ensure adequate water for the population and for the uses, beneficial uses, you know, that are historic in the county, if I'm making sense.
Yeah, well, I'd say the courts established the public trust doctrine as legally binding, but it's actually the governing bodies of whatever jurisdictions are the ones who actually manage the public trust. If the board or the planning, a project gets approved that abuses the public trust, somebody then can take it to court, but generally it's the local jurisdictions when we're talking about public trust waters. Not waters, but waters subject to public trust.
GSP stands for?
Groundwater Sustainability Plan.
Oh, an agency.
Yeah, and public trust really goes to the waters that, do not include groundwater except to the extent that groundwater can indirectly affect navigable waters or waters that are used for fishing, swimming, recreation, that type of stuff.
Right. Okay, I just wanted to bring that up because this, the open space portion of our general plan, water is the critical key of it that ends up filtering out to all the other portions of our general plan. So, and I'm not saying I have the answer, but I do have an opinion that the county needs to take a more forceful ownership of the groundwater component moving forward to protect the longevity of this county, or this county will simply, this is where Siskiyou County was.
Chair Powell, and that's really, it sits in the wheelhouse of Community Development Department, right, our well permitting program, and it's important that we don't short circuit or just do shorthand analysis, you know, because that's what leads to the lawsuits that bind the rest of the county. And so I think our department is working through that coming up, because the state, right, the GSAs have one piece, the public trust doctrine has another piece, but the county itself, through the Community Development Department, is the one that interprets those two pieces. And so we have a lot of latitude at the local level to determine how wells will be permitted. So we do have a lot of freedom to determine how water is allocated at a local level if we do it in a way that doesn't look like we're ignoring state mandates. And it's important, I think, to continue that, to allow the local department to do, to take, you know, those different state mandates and craft a program that will stand, withstand litigation. You know, it's different to say, okay, this is how we're gonna do it, because it's, you know, and then at the end of the day, when the light is shown on that project, when we're not able to withstand scrutiny, then it hurts the county as a whole, and it also hurts the rest of the counties in California, right? Sonoma, Napa, all these counties are like, what are you doing up there in the north? Because it's impacting them as well, right? It's impacting their well permitting programs as well in the south. You know, so it's important that when we do go through our well permitting program, that we do it in a way that's going to withstand scrutiny, you know, and lawsuits that will be coming.
I guess that, and this is the last thing I'll share, provide on this section. I have a genuine concern when we are discussing the importance of open space in our general plan, that if we follow and simply accept and adopt the mentality of the state agencies to become super efficient, our open space will die.
Yep.
Open space requires surface water. And if we follow the path of state water resource, North Coast, etc., I mean, there is a true desire amongst all of those agencies to put all water in a pipe. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, and they make the claim they don't have to go through CEQA, there is no thought as to the impact of piping surface water and the negative impact that has on open space and the environment in a negative manner. And so I will be quiet on this section.
I know staff's emphasis has always been, we want to ensure that the Williamson Act, the general plan, all these pieces, they're not separate, they're all part of one, the same puzzle. Our emphasis is always to encourage and promote continuing the historic uses that have been allowed. So anytime we have a chance to phrase things, we are always emphasizing historic use, maintaining agriculture, and also maintaining the use of that water, you know, for agriculture. You know, so we're working within the space that we're given to make clear, because the county has a lot of discretion, even with the Williamson Act, and I know I'm talking about Williamson Act, but it's related to general plan, in determining whether land will continue to be in Williamson Act, because if say, land is taken, and Director Lang and I were discussing this the other day about water diversions, you know, if the water diversion is that's been historically used for agriculture is now being diverted to conservation of the wetlands and stuff, then that particular parcel doesn't qualify for Williamson Act. You know, the county could be more clear on what, you know, what is allowed and what is not, and that allows us at least to slow the transition of lands that are being converted from active agriculture to conservation, you know. So staff is aware of that, and we're using the tools that are available legally to ensure that that is the emphasis, you know. I hope that's addressing some of what you're...
A little bit, but I would caution county staff from focusing so much on importance, and this is going to sound real weird coming from me, but focusing so heavily on water availability for ag, I think you're missing the stronger argument against the agencies, is that their removal of water from ag and open space is negatively impacting the environment and causing damage to that which they say they are trying to protect. Their actions are in direct opposition to their objective.
See, that statement, we could put that in, you know, we could incorporate
a statement
like that into open space, because the element belongs to us. We can put whatever we want in our element. We can't impose it on the state, but locally, it would give notice, you know, what our preferences are at the local level, and it gives staff direction on how to proceed on projects.
I think the essential part is that the public and agencies that may read this document see that this county recognizes the interconnectivity between agriculture and the environment. And Commissioner Hart and I have had this discussion numerous times over the years with the hyper-focus of one species and the failure to recognize that by implementing regulations and policy to protect species A, the actions to save or help A is killing or threatening species B, C, D, and E.
And sometimes A.
And also sometimes that which they're trying to save,
yep,
because they have these blinders on. And water is one of those things. You take water away from the landscape, look at the listed species that require that water to be on the landscape, simply to help this species. And so I think it's important that we try to convey that water use in agriculture and open space are interconnected, and one relies upon the other to be healthy.
California's got 40 million people, and I don't think California produces enough water to satisfy 40 million people.
Oh, we produce plenty.
It just,
doesn't
not,
get stored.
Not stored.
Well, and not used wisely.
Yeah, I'm saying it's 200 gallons a day, right?
Well, I can tell you, if we manage our water properly, we would have more than enough water for the entire state.
You better go off to a big pond out there to the west.
Yeah.
That's where it's going to come from.
Just take a look at the Klamath. In one day at high flow, there's enough water in a 24-hour period going down the Klamath to provide water for the entire Siskiyou County.
Have you seen the look at it recently, the Klamath?
Yeah,
it's going to be hurting this summer.
Okay, we diverge. So,
yeah, right.
Mr. Phelps, continue unless Mr. Hart has, I see his...
Why can't we include in there the definition of groundwater dependent ecosystem?
I think that would be appropriate. I'd support
because
that.
Because there's different interpretations of what that is, and I have a real argument with Dr. Harden. He thinks it's the river.
Right.
I think it's everything.
I think it's everything also.
Yeah.
It's all connected.
It's all connected.
Well, that was one of my biggest things when they were doing the GSAs, and I went to two meetings and got frustrated because they were trying to manage groundwater and there was no recognition of the role that all that juniper does plays with groundwater. And I'm like, well, if you're not going to look at the problem in its entirety, I'm out. And
that was part of the problem with the formation of the GSAs is they were given boundaries for what they could look at as a GSA.
No, it was specifically
groundwater. In ours over in the valley, we stretched the limit and made Mr. Parker uncomfortable because we started looking at the uplands.
Yep, no, and this isn't a criticism to anybody right. That was running at the local level. I think they knew too. But I think to Blair's point, we need to look at the whole connectivity. But it is a very common thing with our agencies to be very myopic in what they're evaluating and not look at the whole picture. So when you're done, I do have questions on the forestry side, just with some of the language in there. I've got a bullet point, but if you go to, it's OS 7 on page... 22, 23.
Yeah, that would be that July version.
Okay.
So Exhibit B is the staff version.
Yeah,
so,
35 is so the December.
Where do I see
the page? Oh, 35? On the actual page number, not the documents pages.
That
yes,
little thing.
Yes.
Exhibit A or B?
B.
When staff okay. looked at the, when you say OS 5, you're talking about the actual goals and policies.
Okay, so that was taken out then?
Yeah, that would have been taken out and replaced with something that would be more appropriate. And that was staff's goal is tried to.
Okay, so all those OS, I'm sorry to interrupt, all those OS 7.1 to 7.4s are now gone?
Yes.
Okay, well that took out number.
And if you looked at page 42, I think would be the agricultural lands, or forested lands would be on page 43, right? We
yes.
basically took out anything that was overreaching or that would have been a problem for the county or the planning commission, and we faced it with things that were doable that wouldn't impose a lot of constraints on the local economy.
Okay, well let me go through because I think that's where I was getting a
yeah,
lot of heartburn.
It came down to just three policies now.
Yeah, okay.
And appendix or exhibit B.
So
yes.
All of those from July are now, that July draft is now.
That's the one we went through and raked them over the coals on.
Okay, let me see.
They're hoping now they can just stand next to the fire and be warm.
So with that then, so like on page 51, that is still relevant then?
Yes.
Okay, so 3.16, what would you consider clustered development? What do you mean by that?
We want to encourage, and I think Cal Fire's not here, but we want to encourage development where there's already development. You don't want to say, hey, you know, let's go build a house next to Taylor Lake. There's no resources up, there's no services up there. There's no way we can fight, you know, protect your house up there.
So, okay, I'm going to be devil's advocate. So we just lost a mill.
Mm-hmm.
We have a bunch of landowners that now don't have the ability to harvest their timber.
Mm-hmm.
Our industry is at an all-time low. So now you're saying, regardless of zoning, so if they pull out a TPZ and they want to build their house, because now as a landowner, there is no outlet for your resource. You're saying that now they can't even build a house there?
No, it's always, it's that the whole point of this was we don't want to impose, but there's like an emphasis or a recommendation. You know, there's other reasons that make it possible for you, because it's, yeah, it's nice to have a house out in the wild where we don't have a bunch of neighbors and it's pristine and you have a great view.
Yeah.
You know, we're not going to discourage that. We're not going to say no to that, but there might be other reasons that don't make it feasible, right? But the policy of the county wouldn't be, you know, the policy, I think, just growing up in Siskiyou County is always, well, it's, you know, we want as much personal freedom as possible, but we want to make sure that your personal freedom doesn't impact the safety or the well-being of the rest of the community. And I think that's a statement we could all agree on.
Yeah. Well, especially when it comes, you know, to implementing 4290 and 4291, fire safe stuff. But assuming, you know, they were going to self-insure, so you didn't need to worry about insurance, you know, they didn't have a mortgage, and they built their roads, I just see, you know, potential, much like what you guys are going to be dealing with ag and a change of ownership.
We're looking at the self-insurance right now.
I think with that change of ownership, you're going to start seeing that in timberland, because the ability to harvest, unless something miraculous changes, is going to be changing, and people aren't going to be owning timberland for the sake of harvesting. You're going to be owning timberland for the sake of recreational opportunities. They're going to want to build houses, and it's just a reality that, you know, my industry has been warning the state, you make it more and more difficult and jobs are going to go away. People are going to change their land use. And I just don't want to, as a county, prevent anything that precludes them. Now, I'm all in favor of fire safety. I bring that up almost on every project about 4290 and 4291. Mm-hmm. And timberland conversion permits, I think the county needs to, you know, fully support CAL FIRE in those efforts. But when I see cluster development and, you know, anything that would restrict development on somebody's private property, I just, doesn't give me the warm and fuzzies, especially if they can't sell their timber right now.
So cluster development also, if you think, you know, you have 100 acres, right? If there's already been development on this part of the parcel, we want to encourage it on that, and that preserves timberland, because we don't want to say, okay, you're already developing here, and then why go to this other end where there's no roads, nothing yet? Why would you want to develop there? We were going to encourage you to develop where you already have your house or your neighbor's house. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I understand it.
How do you encourage it? What do you do to encourage that?
They have maximum freedom. We can't say you cannot build here. The only thing that our department, community development, can do is like, well, you can't have a septic here, or this isn't appropriate here, or the slope is too extreme here for buildability.
Yep.
You know, and those sort of things.
And if it's that, if it's timberland, I mean, they technically need a timberland conversion permit. Mm-hmm. They can't, even if you gave them a building permit, they legally can't go build that house with your building permit. But legally they can't. And so they technically need a timberland conversion permit. And if it's in the back 40 and they have to build a road to get there, and their infrastructure as well as their house pad, et cetera, exceeds 3 acres, they have to do full-blown CEQA. So that in and of itself is an impediment to go build out in the wildland, because that's a $100,000 permit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so there's impediments there. But I just, you know, for much the same reason, if we've had a lot of discussion about, you know, there's going to be a change of ownership with ag, with, you know, all this groundwater stuff, I think we're going to have a change in ownership in timber. I mean, we're already seeing it on the industry side. Mm-hmm. All the family timberland owners have sold, minus one, two, well, no, we're down to one. And now it's becoming...
they're consolidating.
No, they're not consolidating. It's being bought up by people out of state for conservation easements for carbon.
Mm-hmm.
not timber. I mean, there may be still be timber, but we used to have, and I know I'm getting a little off subject, but I think it's important for you guys to understand. So we used to have the Gagnés on timber products in California. Sierra Pacific still owns timberland. The Fords obviously sold all their land at Roseburg minus the mill, but you know, that's going to now. But there was, of the timber industry, 90% of it was all family owned properties. Other than Sierra Pacific and Green Diamond, who's owned by a family, all of it is now corporately owned, which is a completely different management style. There's not the capital improvement that you would see with a family ownership because it's corporately owned and it's a little bit of tragedy of the commons, if you will. And they are looking at the land to not just harvest and manage timber long term. They are looking at it for capitalization of conservation easements for carbon. So they're playing those markets. Good or bad, it just is, right? But it is definitely a change. So outside of those the industrial land, now you've got the next set of landowners, which is like these family ranches that have been farming and logging for 100, 150 years. They don't have a market. And I see, and a lot of them are elderly, I see a huge changeover with who owns that second large piece of our privately owned land. And then, so I'm kind of getting on a tangent, but I think there's going to be a lot of timberland changes in the next 5 years, if not 10.
To echo that note, the February meeting has 3 TPZ rezone projects coming for Acer, Klamath, and Shasta Cascades.
So, going into or out of?
Going into.
Okay.
You know, so.
Yeah, and that's.
Staff does see that.
Yep. There's going to be, and that's changes and seeing there. So let me keep going.
The negative of that change is those lands are not going to be managed in a way that is conducive to wildfire prevention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would just say, of course, if the project's coming up, we should not talk about those projects.
Right. No, I'm referring to what Danielle, Commissioner Lindler, has been saying with this change of active timberland being grown for the act of harvesting to the carbon gain. The more carbon you have on the landscape, the more money you make. Those lands are going to go from low-risk wildfire to high-risk wildfire. And one of the main components of our general plan is emergency services. How do we deal with potential emergencies? Number one being fire. And so what our state, in its wisdom, has caused is a bigger negative, once again, than a positive.
Yeah. Yeah, it's aggravating. But let's see. So I would just caution that there's, you know, in that cluster development, getting back to that, that there is a recognition that there's, you know, we don't want to impede on private property rights, and that. And I think this gets to 3.23 on page, I think it's 53, the very first bullet point.
Yeah.
The county shall implement policy 057.1, which I don't know if I found that, but these are the words that concerned me. Okay, information regarding wildlife habitat, I've got that understood. Identify wildlife corridors. Are you guys checking like CNDDB
and
on
that's,
that?
That's what this means. It's okay. Like we're, the county will only, you know, during the review process, we're going to look at what CDF, Department of Fish and Wildlife has regarding corridors, that sort of thing. We're not implementing a different separate program. The issue with the July draft was it was much more aggressive on, you know, we're going to do this or that, as opposed to the December draft is just saying, you know, the state requires us to make a note of this, the different corridors that would be impacted if you were to build here, that sort of thing.
Gotcha. Yeah, I just want to make sure that, I mean, because this is just normal CEQA stuff. Mm-hmm. But that there's allowance for mitigations if you're within a certain area. But I was also just checking, like, are you getting your data from CNDDB?
Yes, and we already do, and staff has a subscription to that. So we're already regularly doing that with the discretionary project. We'll double check that data.
Okay. And then as far as any of those mitigations, then they would come back to the commission by and large, and then we'd be able to evaluate them. Because really what triggered there is, you know, we've had some projects where, especially if it's on timberland, you know, you need to have qualified people making the determination on what's a mitigation on timberland, forested landscapes, and leave it at that. Because, you know, we've had situations where there's like, no cut water courses and things like that, that we just want to make sure that we're not, we are.
I wanted to go back really briefly to cluster development, just
escaping. Please.
But this is meant also really to match with, like, say, the Scott Valley Area Plan, where, you know, they're emphasizing, like, hey, we want development around Greenview or Fort Jones, city areas that have already been built up, and that's really why they want to encourage development there, so it doesn't impact the loss of agricultural land or timber land. That's why we're emphasizing cluster development, right? And that's what the Scott Valley Area Plan was trying to emphasize, is my understanding, is that, hey, we want people to build around Fort Jones because this is where the facilities are, and this is, you know, we want these areas to be developed. We don't want them to go into a pristine area and do a huge development. We're like, right? But an individual landowner wanting to build, you know, their dream home on their 200 acres, there's no problem with that.
But you're talking like subdivisions.
Yeah, you know, so, you know, we want Greenview to be developed. We want them to be developed.
But, okay, just pushing it back a little bit. Say, you know, these things kind of snowball. I mean, what comes to my mind is look at, like, the Shasta Forest. You know, things evolve and change, and as long as there's that recognition, you know, in the 30 years I've been in Siskiyou County, you know, there was, like, a house or two. And then now I just was out for a project, and I happened to drive down, and I'm like, it's a full-on subdivision now. So things do get built out, and things change, and so I think there just needs to be that recognition that land use patterns are changing, and while we all want open space, we are lucky to have 60% of our county owned by federal land. We have a lot of wild lands. I think that we need to recognize that if somebody came to a project and said, hey, I got this 600 acres outside of McLeod, and I want to do a subdivision, that we wouldn't automatically put a no, with recognition that that might be their only revenue stream now for it. And
that would never occur at the planning level, right, or staff level. That would always end up
come back
before the planning commission or the board, you know. So that's, but yeah, that would never, we would never have that authority at our level to do that.
Does that make sense?
So with agricultural lands and working lands, the July draft, right, it does support agriculture, but it had language where it could be misinterpreted to say that it was prioritizing non-agricultural open space. And so we switched that, you know, based on comments from the commission, so that the December draft made it really clear that agriculture and forestry are the preferred forms of open space. Right, open space and conservation is a natural result of keeping land in a you know, for forestry and agriculture.
Gotcha. Right? So, okay. Yeah, no, and I appreciate those taken out because that July draft had a bunch of terms in there that would be problematic for the county. So I'm glad you guys
out. And then, and also we did touch on ways to act in the general plan because it's such a big part of the county. We wanted to clarify that for Wayneton Act, you know, it has to be agriculture. You know, we're not going to emphasize because at the county level, we can implement Wayneton Act however we want.
Mm-hmm.
It's our decision, you know, whether or not we want to allow open space and conservation at an equal footing in Wayneton Act or whether it's at a lower level, I wouldn't say a lower level, but it's a natural result of having a preference for agriculture, right? And this will ensure that land is, you know, that it ensures that we're implementing Wayneton Act correctly because, right, the emphasis is preserving agricultural land, you know, and when you do that, the natural result is open space and conservation as opposed to saying, as opposed to having open space and conservation as the primary focus of a Wayneton Act contract. It should just be accessory to.
Okay. And has there been any discussion about revamping your TPZ outline too? Because it's, you know, I've had some concern about
the vagueness. Are you talking about that resolution with the stocking levels or you mean the zoning?
Yeah, your stocking levels and yes. What is needed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's
on our list.
Yeah, it's from, I think, 1973.
Yeah.
I think we
have. Oh, yeah, it's old.
Yeah.
You know, we would like to bring that before the commission and then bring it to the board just to have it updated. Mm-hmm. You know, because a lot of the requirements from 1973 was pre-computer time, so we require them to have really strange requirements in order to be TPZ that aren't really needed now mm-hmm. because we have GIS,
yeah.
You know, we have computers, they don't need to have a lot of the requirements. You know, that's what hangs up a lot of people trying to do TPZ. We require them to comply with this document from 1973, and they're just like, well, we don't know how to do that.
Mm-hmm. And I think, too, there just needs to be, like, clear outlines of what we're asking.
Yeah.
Because I know on this side, trying to interpret, like, does this qualify as TPZ? And if I've never been there...
I think you'll
it's,
be happy.
It's difficult to make that
I think
assertion with some
in,
of the data
in
we've
February,
given.
Staff has taken the old 1975 document and done the math and made the calculations that anybody can use automatically to see what their land, what's needed on their land to qualify for TPZ. You'll
yep.
see on the staff reports in December, in February, which Sheriff Al, you can still look at him even though he's here. But, yeah, when I went through, it was very confusing about equivalencies and ratios. We actually did the calculation and just showed people how to use. You take the amount of land you have of a site classification, and you times it by this number. This is how much you have. You know, so it's really easy for anyone to just take that and use a calculator and be like, oh, yeah, I qualify. So we've changed it around, modernized it.
Okay. Yeah, I'd be curious on that.
You'll be happy, I promise, in February.
Okay.
So, we talked about agricultural land. Talked about the Wayneton Act. Yeah, and then between the two versions, we also talked about forested lands. The December draft, right, we really want to emphasize that forested lands are working landscapes. Right, and we wanted to incorporate wildfire risk considerations into land use review. I mean, we're required to do that already with the CAL FIRE requirements, and so staff didn't propose anything that would burden the county. We basically emphasized steps that we already do without exposing the county to any additional liability, because the issue you have there is if you put too many requirements into your general plan, let's say for safety routes, that sort of thing, someone in the community will say, well, you're in violation of your general plan, I'm gonna sue you, you need to make an emergency route for me, because I live up here, and just, honestly, we don't have the funding and capacity to, you know, we live in a very dangerous frontier environment, you know, that's the reality of it. You know, we make the decision on where we live. But we don't want to impose requirements on the county where the county can't meet them, and the only solution is to settle a lawsuit, you know. So recreation, scenic resources, and climate considerations, these are all requirements. The climate consideration is a requirement under state law. We rephrased it. The July draft basically had all these commitments to rezone certain areas for recreation and scenic resources. The December version instead really emphasized, like, hey, recreation and scenic resources, all those things are a natural result of working landscapes, right? You know, recreation is allowed so long as it doesn't impede agriculture or impede managed forests. Does that make sense?
Oh, it does say July.
And then climate and basically, in terms of climate, we and changing weather conditions, we just basically stated what just common sense. You know, we want the county to be able to adapt to things that are changing, but we're not going to require certain, you know, mandates that are not state mandates. You know, that aren't being imposed on the county. It doesn't make sense for the county to impose more requirements on itself. We're only going to do what's legally required of us at the state and federal levels. And this follows through with the different implementation programs. Anything that we had in the implementation programs, which Commissioner Linder started to look at on pages 50 through the end of the document, basically is everything that the county already is doing or should be doing. There's really nothing in the December draft that would bind the county or force the county to take actions that it did not want to take or did not plan to take anyways.
So I've got a question that we shift into reverse just for a moment.
Of course,
and go back to OS6. Appendix B on the document, page number 44.
Yes, sir.
Trying to think. So here's my question, and how staff sees it would be potentially implemented. And I'm looking at OS 6.4, the equitable recreational facility siting.
So that
it's listed in here that including areas where residents live more than 1/2 mile from an existing park. This applies to unincorporated areas. Where did 1/2 mile come from? And B, if you were to look at this and take it to the extreme, are we saying we're going to start creating have a park every mile heading out A-12?
No. So this is a state law requirement, Chair Powell. Basically, under state law, we want, when it says equitable, we want rich neighborhoods to have parks, but we also want poor neighborhoods to have parks. And so,
so that's all of Siskiyou County is a poor neighborhood.
Yes. Yes, but you asked about the 1/2 mile. That comes out of state law, and I don't have SB 1425 in front of me, and it's been a while since I read it, but that came out when I drafted that. That came out from 1425. But basically, we're talking about if the county were to want to do a new park? Does Lake Shastina really need another park? You know, or would we want to look at maybe, say, Greenview or Fort Jones, you know, some one of the communities, or Hornbrook, you know, where a park would make sense to improve that area for the citizens that live there, but also provide perhaps a revenue stream, you know, for people coming through an I-5, you know. Does that make sense?
No. So, well, yes and no. This, we're talking recreational land. Are we saying we would encourage development? And I, granted, it's a little oxymoronic. Encourage development of open space parks and recreation in areas close to or in proximity to existing communities? Or are we saying this is applying from Happy Camp all the way to Tule Lake across the rural landscape?
I think it would make sense, sir, only where it made, only citing parks, that sort of thing, where it made sense. If there's no one to use that park, it wouldn't make sense to have.
So with the language that's here, would it not be appropriate to maybe put some guardrails on this? To be a little clearer that we're not talking about trying to encourage putting a park out Little Shasta and a park out by the Scott Valley Airport. And
well, it's tough because, as stated earlier, like land uses change and development changes. So if you leave it open-ended like this, it gives the county the most discretion on deciding what to do. It gives the Planning Commission the most discretion on what to do, as opposed to saying, we shall not consider this area, because that area may change over time.
So I'd be open to putting on building an 18-hole golf course on the ranch when it no longer is agriculturally feasible, and it's an open space use for recreation.
If it didn't take away from that, who's going to pay for the golf course of that property?
Not you,
the state. They want it.
Right, and who funds the state? We do. Who's going to pay for all this stuff? And I'm being nice with the S there.
I get the intent. It's in existing communities that are developed. Yes, we want to encourage open space development when it's not there for the underserved. I get that. My concern was more, are we opening up the door to forcing us as a county to try to, kind of like the low-income housing or the affordable housing, you know, state saying you have to provide this. Is this similar? You have to provide this,
These things sound awful good, but then when you have to maintain those down the road, it becomes very expensive. I don't think Wairika would want another park if it was given to them. We don't want it. We got one.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not that we would impose. It's whether or not, if the location wants it, then yeah, let's do it.
You've got to figure out a way to maintain it for years to come, because it's very expensive.
As you know. Director Lane had something on this issue.
Yeah, I was just going to add with the language, it does state the county shall consider. So really it just is requiring us to think about it. It's not saying we, you know, shall develop it or put it into policy. And that's what ties it to the SB 1425. SB 1425 is all about EJ policies, you know, disadvantaged communities. So this was, you know, our way to meet that compliance with saying, hey, we'll think about it, we'll consider it, because have to, you know.
Okay.
Not necessarily like, you know, we'll go start developing parks everywhere.
And that's how we framed a lot of these, is the county consider.
Right.
You know, it leaves us the most room to maneuver, you know, while still being compliant.
Yeah.
It allows us to do what we want without forcing our hand.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really all I had. Staff is recommending that we move forward, or the Planning Commission consider moving forward with our December version. It's more consistent with how the county actually operates. It gives us more leeway, as I've stated before, on how we want to frame the future of the county. It doesn't really bind the county in any way.
Yeah.
And we'll make a note to tighten up the language around groundwater and, you know, removal of water negatively affecting the ecosystem and, you know, the earlier points. We have that on the list. So we can tighten up those languages there.
I think it's important that our county have clear, concise positioning on recognizing the importance of a healthy open space, healthy timber, healthy ag is entirely dependent upon the availability of surface water, water in general.
Yep.
You pipe the water or prevent the water from getting onto the landscape, all of that is negatively impacted. And I do not believe that that's what Siskiyou County as a population even wants. Mm-hmm. But that's where we're headed.
Right. Yeah. To the chair, I got on the website about 2 weeks ago on the Sites Reservoir, and it's back in the mix again. And I think the construction started in 2028. So at least back it's in the mix, because it got thrown out earlier, because they're going to pipe Sacramento River water into the reservoir and then pipe it back into the river when necessary.
Is this in Siskiyou County?
No.
No, no.
No, okay,
no.
I was like,
but I know.
Because I've been to this.
I know
my wife
family
and I drove out
owns
to sites.
Most of that.
And so all that's left there is a building. You used to have a post office and a restaurant, and that was it.
Commissioner Mello, you had also mentioned earlier in this discussion regarding vacation rentals, if you could clarify what you would like with that, sir.
What's that?
You had talked about vacation rentals earlier today.
Oh, yes.
We'll get to that on the commission comments.
Okay.
I have one question on this. There was mention, and I can't find it, about grading ordinances. Is that a moot point at this?
A grading ordinance?
That's a moot point?
Well, it's... Do you really want a grading ordinance?
No,
you
know, no.
That's, don't we don't have out. One, but if we do, then
I
there's
saw,
more restrictions.
No,
yeah, no, we don't want one. I just read something in here and I can't find it. I just want to make sure it's not
it's
in there.
The first version.
Shall consider.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Counselor has a comment.
I have a procedural point. Since it's technically a public hearing, can we open it for public hearing, see that there's no comments, and close it?
Yeah.
So we have held a public hearing on this?
Yes. Okay. So... public hearing is now open. Are there any proponents who would like to address the commission? Are there any opponents?
Me, I got no comment. Okay.
So, are there any neither
for to stay in the room.
Neither for nor against wishing to address the commission? Okay, we'll close the public hearing and take it up amongst the commission. Not that
now,
we haven't
now
already.
Staff has officially a public hearing on
yes.
the record.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Counselor.
Anything else on this matter before we move on? Thank you, Mr. Phelps and Ms. Lyne.
Yeah.
Other items for discussion direction from staff? No? Okay. Miscellaneous future meetings. The next one will be February 18th. I was kidding earlier when I said I wouldn't be here. I think I probably will be. Correspondence that we need to be aware of?
No.
Okay. Staff comments?
Let's see. Since there's no general plan discussion on here, just a quick note. James and I are working through what we're calling a zoning code matrix, which has like all of the available uses outlined by each district, whether it's permitted outright, whether there'll be an administrative permit, so approved by the department, or via CUP. And so we are working on that in the next few weeks. The plan of action is to have our first workshop around zoning during the April Planning Commission meeting. And so we can keep talking about that up until then in case things change. But that's when we're planning to, you know, present the first draft of of everything related to zoning.
Okay. I got a question, sir. Are we going to do this with the Board of Supervisors, or we're not going to? Should we have a joint
meeting? Is this joint or just for us?
I think it's more beneficial if it's at the planning level. You get a lot more work done.
Well, we could have first round, you know, with planning, or and then maybe a second round. You know, it's open to whatever we'd like to do.
Do we want to?
Let me know.
We're on the record, but I'll say it anyways.
Yeah.
Do we want to get something done, or do we want to just sit around and talk?
Well, and it might be good too if we do a first round with Planning Commission, because obviously this is our wheelhouse here. And then if there's questions at the board level, you know, you can say, hey, this is what this means, and it might be more beneficial that way versus everyone looking at it for the first time. You know, that's why we've been doing a lot of the D&D with the elements with, you know, planning first before it.
I would recommend that staff do the presentation to the Planning Commission.
Okay.
And we can, at the conclusion of that presentation, give input and guidance. And then staff can report and update the supervisors on that same matter.
Okay.
And if they have additional concerns or comments, then when you come back to us, you can include what the supervisor's input was.
Okay.
I'll go with that.
Sure.
That's okay.
That works.
I just want...
Treat it like a project.
Yes.
Where there have been a few occasions where the supervisors have said, oh, time out. Can you look at this on this?
Yep. Yep. Okay.
Okay.
That sounds good.
Okay. When is this due, by the way? Is there a due date?
There's no...
April is when we...
you mean with the whole adoption?
Now we have to send this to the state, and then they have to approve it? Is that how this works?
Certain,
when we send it, it's ours.
Certain parts of the general plan, we have to get Cal Fire to sign off on, but the majority of it is ours.
With comprehensive updates, outside of the housing element, because that process is a little different, where there's a lot of back and forth with the state, you know, as long as it's locally adopted, the state typically will bless it. I think they just look to make sure that all of the required statutes that we have to discuss are in there. But there's no timeline of, you know, since we started this process a few years ago, we have to adopt it by a certain month or date.
That's what I'm asking.
Right. We're not under a timeline. I know that the general, you know, goal right now is to have an approval and adoption by probably summer, early spring. But that can change if we need to do more work on it. That's not an issue.
All right. Now, Commissioner Mello.
Yes, sir.
Commission comments.
Yes, sir. I would like this commission to hear and remove the 2.5 acre minimum on vacation rentals.
That you suggest or proposing, we have that discussion. Okay.
So, I think it's a violation of personal property rights, and that's my opinion.
So procedurally...
Yes, that's why I brought it up.
Mm-hmm.
Council, feel free to step in, but a commissioner with the approval of the commission, if an item is on the agenda, can ask staff to prepare a proposal, i.e. project, to bring to the commission to take action on, which would then be forwarded to the supervisors, which would be a 2 to 3 month process, it would go directly to the supervisors, which was the ultimate authority for establishing the limitation in the first place.
Right. I mean, I suspect the actual project would be a repeal of the ordinance, or at least an amendment of the ordinance.
Can that be done by a sitting commissioner? Does that need to come in as a request or an action by a member of the public who is so affected?
No, a member of the commission can ask staff to put something on.
Because Commissioner Mello would be the appropriate commissioner, because it's his district that is directly impacted by the ordinance.
Yeah,
I don't see a problem there. My question is, can Commissioner Mello, as the sitting representative, bring it forward, or does it need to be an individual from his district who is impacted by this making a formal request?
I'd suggest this, that it be added to the agenda for discussion, and then if there is board direction to prepare something formal, we can take it from there.
Okay. So, on the request of Commissioner Mello, I would ask staff to add to the February agenda a discussion item specifically related to the 2.5 acre minimum parcel size ordinance. Correct?
Yes, for vacation rentals.
Okay, correct.
Because they can do it with rental month to month, but they can't do it as a vacation rental. That's another thing.
Sheriff, if I may, we are updating our zoning code. Article 61 is part of the zoning code. It would be a simple matter when we are reviewing that zoning code here to make that change, and that change goes up to the board without any of this extra stuff. And if the board approves it at that point, that's done.
Would override the pre-existing ordinance.
Because so we wouldn't have to do
anything. Say yes or no. Yeah.
We wouldn't have to do any of this. So it would just be as simple as waiting.
Get on that train.
I don't care how we do it. I want it to be simple for staff, but I want it addressed.
Then I think the alternative, which Mr. Phelps brought up, we address it in this general plan update and make the correction there, and then see if it gets by the supervisors or not.
Whatever's the easiest.
I just
want it done because, number one, it's a violation of, in my opinion, personal property rights. Number two, if you can rent it month to month, right, can't you rent it day to day?
So the easiest process.
Traffic.
Yeah. Oh my God, yes.
The easiest way is when we bring that zoning code, because it's going to include Article 61, and you're already sitting there and you're authorized as a commissioner to make recommendations and changes to that
thank
code.
Staff, and
you can just strike that.
Sheriff Fowle for addressing the traffic.
Commissioner Beal. I have two things. Firstly, I got to thinking when Jeff mentioned the ag-related projects, such as that sale barn. When Red Emerson proposed that $42 million reforestation plant out on West Side Route, we didn't look at that at all, did we?
Right, it was AG1 zoning, not AG2. So
it was compatible.
Slightly different, right? Whereas,
and so that was compatible on what?
That's part of my frustration.
Yes.
Because it's a lesser quality ag zoned land, and in my mind is accessory to the ranch, and yet they're being told they need to get a use permit for it.
Yeah, anyway, that was my question. Secondly, I think congratulations are in order to Ms. Haley for stepping up.
I'm not sure she wants the congratulations.
And also, would you set the lineup? No. Who took your place?
Still to be determined. We are housing interviews next week. So you will all know probably by the next meeting.
So you are planning director number 10 for me and for Blair.
Mm-hmm.
But more than
that. Yeah.
No. Barnum, so how many do you Barnum have to Lane. Did you have somebody before Barnum?
James, Rachel, Bernadette.
Yeah.
You've been here that long?
Yes.
Jesus.
Who is that for Barnum?
Are you going to
quit? Oh, we went through a slew of them.
Who is the guy that...
I'm not seriously processing any more projects right now.
Yeah, and he got caught with his...
That was going to be my question.
That was Vera.
Yeah.
You walked out here and fell.
No, you now make number 10 for the two of us.
Yeah.
I guess that's telling us it's time to go.
That's right, it's time to go.
What, I think three or four just for my short time.
Yeah.
So those were your two things. Okay. Commissioner Hart, anything? Commissioner Lindler, anything?
No, that was my question on the director, but...
Okay.
No, I'm good.
I was looking here at the notes I was taking. Go ahead, Commissioner Hart. No, I'm checking my notes.
I just want to know, county's been going through auditing everybody's Williams and Ag contracts. Mm-hmm. Now that we've lost Roseburg, we have no outlet to go anywhere with logs. Timber's worthless. How does it qualify as TPC? You guys gonna go through and start auditing all of that private ground?
There's no.
Why not?
We've not gotten direction.
You're looking for tax revenue.
No, that's, yeah, we haven't got any direction from the board. We have.
What about High Ridge out there? It's,
what's that?
High Ridge out there. You're taking logs, right?
Mm, no, there's no.
Out yeah, there, staff can't do anything without
timber products.
Timber products.
Very select. Very yeah. select.
Mm. Not for long.
But no, staff doesn't do anything without direction from the board or the planning commission. You know, that isn't already authorized by this the county code. But your chance to make the biggest impact is that zoning code update, right? Because any accessory use that you don't agree with, that's when, you know, that's the time that you want to put your mark on, you know, Siskiyou County Code, because whatever you decide in this room is going to last until 2050 or whenever we do another update. So it's important that you want, you know, glam camps or whatever else you want, you know, wedding venues and barn dances, whatever, you make your impact on that. Don't miss that meeting, you know, because that's the most.
Which meeting?
Well, whatever meeting you set to
gotcha.
To
I
update
just wanted to make sure
that zoning
miss a date.
When we get this GP finalized and approved, we need to make sure that we have those thoughts included.
I think all of us on this commission are pretty aware of what's happening industry-wise in this county, and we need to allow our citizens to have diversity in their revenue.
I probably shouldn't, but I'm too old to care now. I find it how Jake and I was in Surprise Valley last night officiating, and of course 4-hour drives give a lot of, well, 8-hour drives combined give a lot of time to have discussions about multiple topics. And the discussion, he's from Weed, and you know, I was thinking back, you have this mill shut down, which is going to you have between 50 and 58 elementary kids who have one or more parents that work there. And you have between 44 and 50 high school students who have one or more parents that work there. No job. And I think back, you know, we had a cogen facility that ended up not happening due to lawsuits. We had a bottling works deal, which would have provided some jobs, which sits vacant because of lawsuits. You have a mill that's now shutting down because of state regulation. The people of our community, the Weed is in trouble, and so is Mount Shasta.
Yes.
Weed may be a D5 school now, but by this time next year, they're probably going to be the size of a Butte Valley High School, a Tule Lake High School. There's nothing.
I think the answer, Chair Powell, is simply a trade school. I mean, the people have been talking to expand COS's, you know, offerings besides pottery and poetry and drama, you know, to trade school, right? I mean, there's always a demand for trades. Right, electricians and the, you know. Just
but do you really want to go into a trade in the state of California anymore? That's the thing. We'll be training people to get a job
elsewhere.
Outside the state.
Yeah.
And you're only talking hiring a few professors or instructors. You're not going to be hiring 80 individuals for a trade school.
Well, no, I'm talking about giving them an opportunity to, you know, go beyond the millwork. It's leaving the state. It's not coming back. You know, you see that happening in Canada even. You know, these type of jobs are not coming back, but electricians are always in demand. You know, all these trades are always in demand. The construction here is always in demand if we give people the tools to
I hear what you're saying. I just...
And that increases, it will help, you know, that local town. It will help Mount Shasta because these are bedroom communities for students, you know. It's just, that's what we need to look to. We can't look to bringing back the mill. It's not coming back.
No, I get that, but you, in order to have a demand for people in construction and electricity. You've got to have people that make money.
That's
and
right.
There's nothing generating revenue in this county now.
Thank you.
I'm all for training people, mm-hmm. but they're going to go where the jobs are. They aren't going to be here. People here can't afford to expand, let alone build new of any substantial size. And you look at some of the bigger companies now that are heading to Texas, to Nevada,
yeah.
and they're jumping the border.
And give it a few more months when our refineries actually shut down.
Yeah, that's the next Benicia's getting drained, and as soon as it's empty, it's getting mothballed. And what out-of-state refinery is going to want to play the California emission game and do a recipe to provide fuel to California? None of them. You think our fuel prices at $4 to $5 now, double and triple that come a year from now.
That's it.
Well, they're talking by summer. You know, some of the forecasts are anywhere from $7 to $10 a gallon, yep. which will put whatever's left out of business.
I just know I would change careers if there was a trade school and we could become an electrician.
Yeah.
You know, since I can't go to Climate Fall. You
become a rancher. I'm an electrician at least once every 2 weeks. All right, anything else from the commission? We
no.
stand adjourned.
Thank you, sir.
See you, Dusty.
Yeah, no, but it'll have two or three refineries or something.